What is the greatest impossibility in your life this morning? What is the thing that maybe you've just given up on? Said there's no changing this. Turn with me to the Old Testament book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 17. And you Bible readers, you're going to know exactly where I'm going with this. What is the giant of a problem in your life this morning? What is that thing that is just too big? And maybe you've just already decided, I can't win. Giants can have, in contemporary days, all kinds of different names. Cancer, divorce, low self-esteem, addiction, habits, hurts of all kind, financial distress. What is the giant in your life today? Now, somebody's about ready to get blessed. I'm going to give you a 10-point sermon. I didn't get one amen. I think I finally got Melvin over there. Thank you, brother. Now, the good news about a 10-point sermon, the points have to go pretty fast. So if you're taking notes, you've got to write quick here this morning. I'm going to give you 10 characteristics of giant killers. And I'm believing that we're going to slay some giants before we leave here today. Number one, giant killer characteristic number one. Giant killers do not start out as giant killers. Look at 1 Samuel 17 and verse 14. David was the youngest. The three oldest followed Saul. But David went back and forth from Saul to tend his father's sheep at Bethlehem. Now here's the story. Little David is just a shepherd boy. He's got three older brothers. They go off to do battle. They enlist in the war. They are the professional soldiers, the macho men. David has to stay home and tend his father's sheep. He's the youngest. Giant killers do not start out as giant killers. But one day, David wanted to go see his brothers. So he goes to the battlefront. It's recorded down in verse 20. Early in the morning, David left the flock with a shepherd, loaded up and set out as Jesse had directed. He reached the camp as the army was going out to its battle positions, shouting the war cry. Israel and the Philistines were drawing up their lines facing each other. David left his things with the keeper of supplies, ran to the battle lines, greeted his brothers. As he was talking with them, Goliath. A 9-foot-tall giant. Goliath stepped out from his lines, shouted his usual defiance, and David heard it. When the Israelites saw the man, they all ran from him in great fear. And if you look back at verse 16, it tells us this has been happening for 40 days in a row. Here's the picture. Little David gets to the battlefront. He's a little shepherd boy. He's going to visit his brothers, the professional soldiers. And he sees they have on their best battle array. They're dressed for battle. And they run out shouting the war cry. They get to the battlefront. But then this giant stands up, Goliath. And when he shouts back at them, the whole army of Israel takes off running for their lives. David's watching it. It kind of reminds me of when I was a senior in high school. Our football team, we were not very good. In fact, we were quite pathetic. But it was homecoming night, and all did we want to win that ball game. We got all dressed up in our best uniform. You talk about shouting the war cry. I mean, in the locker room, we were so hyped up. I don't know why, but when guys get football uniforms on and helmets, they start hitting each other. And, I mean, we're just all psyched up, and I've often thought if we'd have hit the other team that night, as hard as we hit each other in the locker room, we might have won the game. But we're all psyched up. The battle song comes on. The fight song comes on. We rush out of the locker room, through the tunnel, onto the field, got beat 52-0. Tell you what else this reminds me of. A lot of us coming to church on Sunday morning. Hello. We'll get all dressed in our battle array. We'll look our best. We'll come in here and sing the songs, "Oh, victory, look what the Lord has." And we get all worked up, but then the moment the giant shows up. How many know the giant comes to church? Already. Already here this morning. It's what makes you squirm a little bit. That thing that's just impossible. Oh, there's no way. David's watching. Giant killers do not start out as giant killers. Write this down. Number two, giant killers see the potential reward for killing the giant. Giant killers see the potential reward for killing the giant. They're back at the camp now. The army has retreated. Maybe they have a campfire. And David is listening into the conversation. And it's going something like this. It's recorded there in verse 25. The Israelites were saying, "Do you see how this man, this giant, keeps coming out? How he keeps coming out to defy Israel? The king, oh listen, the king will give great wealth to the man who kills him. He will also give him his daughter in marriage and will exempt his father's family from taxes in Israel." And little David's listening in and he said, "Say what?" And they repeat it there in verse 26. They said, "Oh yes, whoever kills this giant, you're going to get rich. You can marry the king's daughter and you'll never have to pay income tax again." Somebody say amen on that one. And all of a sudden David says, "I'll do it." Watch this. Here's a great question. What would motivate you this morning to face that impossibility in your life? What would motivate you to face the giant, that thing that you're saying it's just too big? This kind of reminds me of the guy out in Texas. He was a wealthy oil man and he had a daughter of marrying age. Beautiful daughter of marrying age, but he didn't want to let her go. And yet the time had come, it was inevitable. And so he called a party at his ranch. He got all the eligible bachelors from the community lined up on one side of the swimming pool. He and his daughter got over on the other side. And he shouted at all the guys. He said, "Tonight is going to be one of your nights. First one of you that'll jump in this pool, swim to this end, get out, you're going to have your choice. $1 million cash, 500 acres, prime Texas real estate, or my beautiful daughter's hand in marriage." But he said, "I got to tell you, this swimming pool is full of water moccasins." About that time, there was a splash. And in no time, an old boy had come across the pool, came up on this end. The father said, "Son, I don't know how you did it. I thought I had it rigged." But he said, "You did." He said, "Your choice, $1 million cash, 500 acres, prime Texas real estate, or my beautiful daughter's hand in marriage. What do you want?" The old boy said, "I want the fool that pushed me in." How many know that fear is a pretty good motivator? You ever been pushed into a situation that you had to fight for your life? What would motivate you to face the giant that you're facing? The army saw the risk. David saw the reward. The army saw Goliath. David saw God. Number three, write this down. Giant killers do not listen to doubting critics. Now here's a great lesson for us. The moment you volunteer, the moment you enlist, the moment you say, "I'm going to face my giant," here comes the criticism. And this is so interesting. It starts in David's own family. His older brother, Eliab. Look at verse 28. when Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him speaking with the men, he burned with anger at him and asked, "Why have you come down here? And with whom did you leave those few sheep in the desert?" Can't you just hear the condescending tone of older brother down to little brother? "I know how conceited you are, how wicked your heart is. You came down only to watch the battle." Look at David's reply, verse 29. "Now what have I done?" It's like I've heard all this before. His brother's against him. King Saul hears there's somebody that's willing to fight the giant. He gets excited. He said, "Give me his resume. Let's schedule an interview." David comes in. Remember, it's a little shepherd boy. King Saul looks at him, verse 33. "You're not able to go out and fight this Philistine. You are just a boy." All he's hearing is, "You can't do it. Why are you even here? You're not strong enough." Finally, he gets out on the battlefield. It's all the way down in verse 42, 43. The giant looks David over, and he gets ticked off. He said, "Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks?" And the Philistine began to curse David. "Come here," he said, "I'll give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." All David is hearing is, "You're a nobody. You can't win. You're not strong enough." Here's what I know, folks. Power of life and death is in the tongue. And when all you're hearing is, "You're a nobody, you're a loser, you can't win this, it's too big for you," you start to believe it. But giant killers do not listen to doubting critics. Number four, giant killers are not overwhelmed by the challenge. Giant killers are not overwhelmed by the challenge. David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. I will go and fight him." When everybody is saying, "You can't do it. There's no way we'll get over this." Giant killers, if you're going to slay the giant today, you cannot be overwhelmed by the challenge. Number five, somebody say amen. We're halfway done. Giant killers build on past successes. All David is hearing is, "You can't do it. You can't win. You're a nobody. It can't be done." And David says, "Let me tell you what the Lord's done for me." He begins to testify. I don't know about you, but I love testimonies. The Bible says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." And there's a power in our testimonies. The Bible says we overcome by the words of our testimony. So David says to Saul, verse 34, "I was keeping my father's sheep one day when a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock. I went after it. I struck it. I rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair. I struck it and I killed it. Your servant who has killed both the lion and the bear, why, this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them." Now the kids would say, "David just started talking trash. Bring on that big uncircumcised Philistine." The God, look at verse 37, "The God who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." When you're in a situation and you think there's no way out, look back in your life and remember where God has answered prayers, where you've been in situations you thought there's no way out, and God did it back there. He can do it again. Giant killers build on past successes. Number six, giant killers convince others that they will succeed. After David testifies, King Saul says, "Go, and the Lord be with you." Right there at the end of verse 37, Saul had said, "You can't do it. You're a nobody." But after he testified, giant killers convince others that they will succeed. There's power in your testimony. It'll affect the lives of your kids, your grandkids, those around you that are doubters. And now Saul says, go, and the Lord be with you. Number 7, giant killers do not try to be someone else. Now this is probably my favorite part of the story. Giant killers do not try to be someone else. Saul says, go, the Lord be with you. And then the very next thing he does, verse 38, Saul dressed David in his own armor. I've seen this around the church for years. There's a job that needs to be done. Nobody will do it. There's a class that needs to be taught. No one will teach it. But somebody gets saved. Somebody gets on fire for God. And they're all ready to go. And then everybody else that's been sitting back, saved, sanctified, petrified, they say, let me tell you how to do it. And we put our armor on someone else. David took off Saul's armor. Now, someone needs to get this today. This might be the very thing that frees you, that liberates you. David takes off Saul's armor. What do we know about Saul? Stood head and shoulders above everybody else. Big man. Little shepherd boy, David. It's the picture of a peewee football player with an NFL football player's uniform on. And I mean, the helmet's spinning around and the face mask is going out backwards. And David is saying, I can't even walk, much less fight. David takes off Saul's armor. There's a lesson in here for us. Giant killers do not try to be someone else. You cannot operate with someone else's anointing. You cannot minister with someone else's armor. I had to learn this. I'll just give you a personal illustration here. I grew up in a camp meeting up in the hills of southern West Virginia. Old-fashioned camp meeting, 10 days, 3 preaching services a day, morning, noon, night. Now, this camp was a little different. They had the same 3 evangelists for 20 years in a row. I mean, I really was influenced by those 3 preachers. Now, when I was 19 years of age at that camp meeting, God called me to preach. I didn't really mean to, but as I enrolled in Circleville Bible College and I would go out and start preaching on the weekends, I found myself trying to preach like those 3 evangelists. I thought, if I'm going to be a good preacher, all of them were different in style. Some of you would know these names. Don Humble, Charles Williams, Don Pfeiffer. All of them different. Don Humble, he was very dignified. Always had a 3-piece suit, big Bible. And when he spoke, people said he has the voice of God. Deep baritone voice. And I remember one Sunday I got in the pulpit and I was myself down here meeting people, but I got up here and I tried to change my voice. And just speak, but well, I couldn't even read my scripture. Had to learn a lesson that day. I cannot operate with someone else's anointing, someone else's armor. Charles Williams. Oh, if you ever heard this guy preach. I mean, he was like a machine gun. And he would paint pictures with words. He was an orator. And, I mean, he'd hold you on the edge of your seat for an hour. And I remember as a little boy, I was down on the front row, that old camp, Charles Williams preached on the crucifixion. And this was years before Mel Gibson's Passion of the Christ. But I saw the crucifixion as he preached that. And this preacher, Charles Williams, he literally got to the point in the message where the soldiers scourged Jesus, ripped the robe off his back. And this preacher took his belt off and began to lash the pulpit 39 times as he preached that sermon. About scared me to death. I thought he's coming after me next. Do you know what? One weekend up around Akron, Ohio, I was preaching. When I was in college, just getting started, and I was preaching on the crucifixion. And I got to the part of the story where the soldiers scourged Jesus. They ripped the robe off his back. They began to beat him. I pulled my belt off and lost my pants. You better believe I learned a lesson that day. Worked for Charlie Williams. It didn't work for me. Oh, Don Piper. If you ever heard Don Piper preach, when he got under an anointing, he'd start quoting scripture. And he might intend just to quote one verse of scripture. Next thing you know, he's quoted 4 or 5 chapters of the Bible. And there would just be a movement of God over the place. I got to thinking, if I'm going to be a good preacher, I need to memorize scripture. So that when I'm preaching, I can quote scripture like Don Piper. So I did. I learned some scripture, memorized some scripture on the second coming. And I was down in West Virginia preaching one weekend. And down in West Virginia, you just kind of haul off and preach. And I was getting with it. I said, whoa! I said, Jesus is coming back. And I said, there'll be 2 in the field. 1 will be taken. 1 will be left. Then I got all mixed up. I said, there'll be 2 men in the bed. I thought, oh my Lord, how am I going to get out of this? And I said, and both of them are going to be left. You better believe I learned a lesson that day. I cannot operate, you cannot operate with someone else's armor. But the good news today, God has armor just for you. David took off Saul's armor and he picked up his slingshot. He said, this is what I'm good at. This is what God has gifted me to do. Number 8, somebody say amen, we're almost done. Giant killers face the challenge with a higher purpose. Giant killers face the challenge with a higher purpose. Verse 45. David said to the Philistine, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin. That's everything, folks, that the world can throw at you. That's all the stuff of this world. That's all the sickness. That's all the pain. That's all the hurt. But I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the army of Israel. Giant killers face the challenge with a higher purpose. And David says, verse 46, this day the Lord will hand you over to me. I'll strike you down, cut your head off, little shepherd boy, talking to a 9-foot-tall heavyweight champion. I'll cut your head off. And watch this. Today, I'll feed the carcasses of the entire army of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. Did you catch that? The giant had said to David, when I'm done with you, I'll feed your flesh to the birds of the air, beasts of the field. David said, big boy, when I'm done with you, I'll feed the carcasses of your whole army. This is exponential power. This is exponential blessing and favor. Giant killers, understand, we're not going to win by the wisdom of this world. They face the challenge with a higher purpose. We need to watch who we're listening to in this world. I think I said it in here the first night. Pastors get about 20 minutes in the pulpit each week. Oprah gets 5 hours. Who's the influencer? All the self-help of this world, all the New Age philosophy, all it can ever do is treat symptoms. It's never going to go to the heart. I saw an interview not long ago. Elizabeth Taylor was being interviewed, and the subject matter was how to hold on to your man. I don't think that's who you ought to be listening to. Giant killers, understand, we've got to focus on a higher power. Face the challenge with a higher power. Number 9, giant killers are eager to win. Anybody in here today tired of being defeated? Tired of running away from that giant day after day after day? Anybody eager to win? David, verse 48, as the Philistine moved closer, David ran quickly toward the battle. If you've not gotten anything else out of this message this morning, get this. You'll never defeat the giant by running away from the battle. David ran quickly toward the battle. Whatever that giant is that you named earlier in this service, confront it today. Face it today. Reached into his bag, took out the stone, slung it, struck the Philistine on the forehead. He fell face down, dead. David triumphs over the Philistine. Number 10. This is where your family comes into play. Giant killers take those around them to a higher level. When you take down the giant in your life, that thing that is stifling your spiritual growth and keeping you from being all that you can be, what a difference it's going to make for your family. After David kills the giant, look at verse 52. Then the men of Israel surged forward with a shout. They're the ones that for 40 days in a row have been running away from the battle. But when David conquers the giant, then the men of Israel surged forward with a shout, pursued the Philistines all the way to Gath, and get this, their carcasses. The whole army were fed to the birds of the air, the beasts of the field, just like David had said.